the theater season is decidedly getting underway. Kind of every week there's a new opening, and we had to rush this one a little bit because it's not till next week that Fiddler on the Roof opens. Technically, I believe on the 19th, and runs very conveniently from the 19th of September to the 19th of October at Spokane Civic Theater. And we'll get to that soon enough, but right now let's meet the person who's been here for a while, figuring out why he's here, and that is the Artistic Director of Spokane Civic Theater, Keith Dixon. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Vern. How are you?
Great, and I'm glad to finally meet you, and so let's kind of go through the usual quick litany. You've done a lot of community theater for a lot of years, right?
Yes, yes. I was in Baton Rouge, at Theater Baton Rouge for 10 years, and this just came along, and here I am, looking for something different, some new challenges, and so here I am.
Yeah. And before Baton Rouge, were you a little kid in school plays? And
I did a few. Actually, I was in the Pitt Orchestra. My thing was music for a long time. But I did a few shows, and then got involved actually after high school. Took some time off from school for a while, and did some theater with some good friends of mine, and just kind of got hooked, and then realized, you know what, I don't want to do anything else for a living. Mm-hmm. So been fortunate enough to make a living at it over the last, most of my adult life. So.
And with your music background, that's really fairly perfect for when you come in and the opening show is musical theater. Right?
Absolutely.
So that's not a strange bedfellow to you.
It's not, and it creates a nice synergy with the music director, because we can speak the same language, so I think it will be a good thing going forward when I'm doing musicals.
Right. So you applied for the Civic Theater Artistic Director job. You got it. You've been here, what, since about late spring?
End of June was when I finally got everything on the ground and moved in. So
how much do you want to say about what you inherited, what the possibilities are, what the problems or what we call them challenges to make it sound better, are that you're dealing with? Just a few things.
Well, you know, the organization itself has a rich history. I don't think you become as successful as you are without a lot of great people along the way. And one of the things I want to make sure we do is take good care of our volunteers, because they are the lifeblood of the organization. You know, there's a lot of talent in this area. You don't have 68 years of history without it. And we want to nurture that and continue to grow it. And I think that is probably the greatest asset that we have, bar none. We have a talented staff and a very dedicated staff. And I think what we want to try to do over the next couple of years is let's just do some good theater. Mm-hmm. Let's not worry about everything else. It is, in fact, our volunteers will hear me say this a lot, it's just theater. We're not doing brain surgery. So nobody's going to die because we've messed up something, or, you know, nothing's going to happen. Of huge consequence is going to happen because we don't quite get something right. I think, you know, sometimes it's a matter of acknowledging the things that we don't get right and learning from that. And that's what we're going to do. As we go forward. You know, Fiddler's a good example of just a group of people from very different experience levels, very different backgrounds coming together to create something that is greater than themselves. And that's what we do 10 times a year. So that's what I want to keep in the forefront of everyone's mind, is that we're doing something very special here.
And so then with that good sense of focus on your main job, what are a few things on the edges that you would hope for, you dream for, the educational, the outreach, the other things that an organization like Spokane Civic Theater can or should do?
Well, I think we need to lead theatrically in the community. First of all, education, educationally, I think we're very strong, and we're going to continue to grow that. In fact, I actually have a meeting right after this to discuss some of those things. We've got a Shakespeare in Schools program. We've got great camps and, you know, summer programs and throughout the school year. So we're just going to continue to nurture that. And that is the lifeblood of the organization going forward. You know, across the country, we worry about subscriptions, season subscriptions declining. If we don't teach it, then we don't have subscribers because they don't know what theater is. If they don't experience when they're a child, then they're not going to have a reason to come back to it later in life, either as an audience member or a volunteer or what have you. you know, there's a lot of great theater out there to be done. I want to expose Spokane to some newer plays. It's not necessarily a thing we do on our main stage, but there's a lot of opportunity for audience development. There are new... We live in a high-definition world, and so also bringing some of that technology into the theater and into our storytelling process, because there's so much flash and sometimes pomp and circumstance as well in what we see and what we experience every day, we want to bring some of that into our theater as we go. And that's a process. It's a very... It's not haphazard. It's not one time. It's how it all connects together. And I think that's really part of what my job is to look at the ramifications of decisions that we make as far as how we tell the stories that we tell and how they connect together. You know, this show does not sit in isolation, Fiddler. It connects to the next one, connects to the next one, and then the seasons connect together. And it's my job to see how they connect together. And, you know, what's the best course of action to make sure that it's as seamless as possible, because it's never going to be completely seamless, but as seamless as possible and, you know, and as beneficial to our volunteers and to our audience.
My guest, Keith Dixon, who's the new, we'll keep calling you new, artistic director of Spokane Civic Theater. You've talked well about everything except the acting community. And you've had other civic theater in Baton Rouge, so talk about the nurturing of an acting community by an organization like this.
Well, you know, you've got two people in this room right now who you're going to talk to in just a moment who are excellent. And I'm not saying that just because they're standing here. Mm-hmm. I'll pay you guys later. Mm-hmm. I don't know enough specifically about the acting pool, just what I've seen thus far, which is a very limited mm-hmm. amount. Simply put, acting is listening and responding, and it's something that we do every day. So my job as a community theater artist is to get people to translate their everyday lives, their everyday world, their everyday reactions and responses to people and the way they think, and to put it on stage. It doesn't matter to me. I would rather work with a group of people whose talent level is not necessarily tip-top, who are invested in what we are doing, than work with a group of people who are aces who don't care about what we're doing. And that's huge to me. That is massively important, because I learned in Baton Rouge that I really enjoy working with volunteers, because you cannot teach that kind of passion. You can't. They're not getting paid. They're spending 8 hours a day at work or 12 hours a day at work, school, what have you. And then they come here for their off time. That's why the experience has to be good for them. So, you know, if you get them in and their experience is good, the acting, the technique, all that stuff will take care of itself.
And right then, I want to bring in the two actors in the room, Mary Starkey and Patrick McHenry Crutch, to come right in on this discussion, because each one of you has spent innumerable amounts of time. Bring the microphone closer to you, Patrick.
Yeah, I love what Keith is saying, because it just reminded me of when I was a teenager doing shows at the Civic, and I had the honor to act with very experienced actors like Larry Strawbridge and these people that have been doing theater and the arts for so long. So I got to learn from them. And what I love about community theater is that now that I've been doing it for 25 years, now I'm doing shows with kids who have only done one show or no shows. And that relationship is, and that experience is being passed on. And I think that's the beauty of community theater, the beauty of the arts.
And Mary?
Absolutely. Well, and actually we all end up feeling like kids together when mm-hmm. we're back there. You know, one of the beauties of community theater is that we get to be together with people that we've worked with before, with our friends, creating something. It's a beautiful thing. Troy Nickerson is the director of this show, and what Troy Nickerson calls You Answer, because working with him is such a joyful experience. He is a craftsman in the truest sense. Watching him put together this show, any musical that I've worked with him just watching how he crafts it, watching him not only put together the big musical numbers, but those small intimate moments, the acting, coaching that he does with young people who really don't have the experience. Last night in rehearsal, I was moved to tears I don't know how many times watching Patrick as Tevye working with the young women who are playing his daughters, and watching Troy bring the most, in rehearsal, the most beautiful and profound performances and feelings out of that.
It was night and day.
It was just
beautiful.
And I wouldn't miss that experience for the world. When we talk about the passion that goes with it, I just wouldn't miss it for the world. You talk about it being our off time, but it really is a very renewing time. You know, it reminds us all the time why we do it, why we spend the time doing it, and why we love it so much.
I was lurking around backstage last night, truly lurking, and watching the train station scene, and that's the scene that gets me every time. I can't, you know, and there was beautiful work happening, even from a backstage point of view. And so I think it's going to make for some really, really good theater. And that's our goal, making theater.
Sure. And a nice thing, parenthetical thing, Troy also grew up in this theater.
Absolutely.
Didn't he? I mean, from a little kid.
I think he was 13 or 14 when he started.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
And so he knows how to work with the children, too. Mm-hmm. He knows how to work with those young people. And, you know, it's interesting. I haven't been in a show before with this many young people in it. Mm-hmm. And there is a certain amount of exuberance that's back there that sometimes you need a little more focus. And the way, exuberance is one way to put it, right? But, and it happens. Like I said, we all become kids. I'm as guilty of it as some of the children there. But the way that he is able to work and to get them to focus and to, without being mean at all about it, to get everybody to calm down and work together and focus on the task at hand, it's just beautiful to watch. It, like I said, he's truly a craftsman in the truest sense.
He is. It's very nice to know. There's some really good directors in this town, and over the years I've had moments where the directing pool was slim. Yeah. And then it wasn't, and so back and forth. So that was one of the things that I became very comfortable with, is that we've got some people who know how to tell a good story, because that's what we're doing. We're telling our stories. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking through this whole, talking about growing up in the theater and then now being in that place where you are the teacher. You know, my job is not... My job is somewhat the steward, because this is here long before I got here, and it's going to be here long after I'm gone. Now, hopefully, that long after I'm gone is not for a long time, but, you know, that is the thing that I try to keep in mind, is that while I may be providing vision, I'm also a steward of what is here. Mm-hmm. It's not my theater, it's the community's theater.
That's why you got the job.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, now let's, I'm here with two of the cast members of Fiddler on the Roof, Mary Starkey, who plays Yenta, and Patrick McHenry Kratz with the big gig of Tevye, and then also Keith Dixon, the new artistic director of Spokane Civic Theater. So let's focus right down on Fiddler on the Roof. It's kind of been through most of our lives. Mm-hmm. Who remembers their first Fiddler on the Roof when it blew you away?
Well,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. So for me, it's extremely emotional, because my father, who passed away about 6 years ago, he would always be singing songs from Fiddler on the Roof when I was a child.
Wow.
So especially if I were a rich man and he sang so many songs from the show, and he would sing them, and my dad had just a beautiful voice, and he sang Sunrise, Sunset at probably 5 weddings that I can remember growing up for my cousins. And so it's an extremely emotional show for me. And so I can't remember not knowing this show growing up. I mean, it's that far embedded.
Yeah. So, what about you, Mary?
Well, the first time I saw it was the movie, and it's a beautifully written piece. When you look at it, you know, we were talking earlier about that it's about Jews in Russia and during a horrible time in the history. But I think that it speaks to the whole immigrant experience. My grandparents were immigrants from Hungary, and though they weren't Jewish, there were reasons, specific reasons, why they were leaving. And the whole idea of the traditions in a changing world, and when your whole world is being blown up and changing around you, how your traditions keep your core. The idea of tradition, of family, of community, keeping you together through enormous changes, I think speaks to everyone. And that, besides the wonderful music and the wonderful acting in the movie as well, I think that idea just really speaks to all of us, no matter what our history or persuasion is. We all have traditions that we hold with our family, with our friends, with our community, that in trying times hold us together.
Mm-hmm. I ran into a friend of my father's that just happenstance at a store, and the other day, and told him I was going to be playing Tevye, and he's a Catholic German man, first generation. He's probably 73 years old, and when I told him I was playing Tevye, he said, "That's my story. That's my story." Mm-hmm. You know, that's pretty impressive.
Right.
I'm a Catholic German man.
Yeah.
So then, as you've each developed your characters, let's ask you, Mary. Talk about Jenta, and based on everything you've just said, how you are as Jenta.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we, Jenta is a matchmaker, and in our culture, at least right now, matchmakers, we don't use them anymore. But when you look at the show, and again, how beautifully written it is, so each of the daughters goes through moving further and further away from the tradition of a matchmaker arranging a marriage with someone they may not know and choosing their own path forward. So I think it's beautifully done, because everyone loves love stories too, right? It's beautifully done, though, to get that idea across that Tevye, who is anchored by his tradition, his religion, his community, has to deal with these changes. Jenta represents that tradition of the matchmaker, and actually there's one of those times when she screams out in a wedding ceremony where, you know, somebody is getting married without the matchmaker. She says, "What is going to happen to the matchmaker?" And that's not just for her, that's for the whole society. What happens when a society changes this fast? So with Jenta, obviously it's a really fun and funny role, but that's what I try to get across, is that she is steeped in that tradition. She represents that, and there is no budging from it, that this is the way it goes. And it's just wrong when we try to make those changes. Mm-hmm. And when a girl decides for herself who she's going to love and who she's going to marry, well, that's the end of the world.
Yeah.
And then kind of the same question to you, Patrick. You've already pretty well illuminated some of your motivation here in Tevye, but what haven't you told us?
I think part of it is because I have, my daughters are 20 and 16, and so they're in that same age range, and they're lovely, but then going into that tradition and seeing Tevye's struggle with his daughters, that's my favorite part about it. When he's so upset and he can't stand that they're breaking tradition, but then he says, "But look at my daughter's eyes. She loves him. She wants him." You know, those moments where he just can't, because of his love for his daughters, he just cannot deny them what they want, and then just switches, you know, and then, you know, that crushing moment with Havala, you know, when it's just gone too far, you know, those things are just, they're so precious, and yeah, so that's mostly for me, my character, and as these guys know, I have a really hard time, you know, trying to pull back my emotion on stage.
Funny, I was talking to one of the young women who plays his daughter, and I was just complimenting her after they had completed crafting this scene, and she was crying still, and I said, it was beautiful. And she said, I have such a hard time. I look at Patrick, and he's crying. I said, Patrick's a big crybaby, and you got to get used to that.
Sure,
I said, he cries with his own daughter.
I get that from my father.
And it's beautiful. It's beautiful, and it works. But yes, it's just... we all know you know that you're also thinking about your daughters, and you know we bring ourselves to we try to find parts of ourselves to bring to the role, or part of ourselves comes to the role whether we want to or not, you know.
And I think the beauty too of the show is it's that the combination of the relationships with the daughter, but also the political, you know, the political part of it, where you know the relationship with the constable. And having to deal with that, we're also being eliminated from, you know, our little corner of the world that's incredible.
But the other thing that I love, and this is something too that I think just a simple line in the show shows the resiliency and the ability to move on, take your traditions and move on, is there's a line when they find out in 3 days they have to leave the only home they've ever known, that their parents and grandparents and generations before have lived in. And after a moment, you know, Yenta says, well, Anitevka hasn't exactly been the Garden of Eden.
And somebody should have taken a match to this place long ago.
And all of a sudden you see that they're all that they need to accept, and they do accept, and there is that resiliency of that we do have to pick up and we do have to move on, and taking our traditions with us.
So a few of the issues in this very, very rich show of that's opening at the Civic Theater on a week from Friday, the 19th, and runs for 5 weeks. It's generally a Thursday through Sunday sequence, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30 at night, Sunday at 2 o'clock is the normal thing, but one can certainly reach the Civic Theater about all of those details. That's Fiddler on the Roof, which is opening. Then we'll talk about the rest of the season on another occasion.
Sounds good. Because Fiddler's important. It's an important set of stories because it's our stories.
So, Keith, thanks for coming in. We'll have you back to talk about the rest of the season sometime.
Sounds good.
And thank you so much, Patrick and Mary.
Thank you, Vernon. And thank you for the work you do.
Patrick and Mary Crutch as Tevye, Mary Starkey as Yenta.